Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. We're slowly but surely exiting January and entering into February with more cryptids. 20K is on the way, if we haven't already hit it by now, but I doubt it. Now, let's get spooky. The year was 1973. It was a warm summer's evening in the tiny suburban town where I lived, when my friend Tommy first told me about the ninjas. You are so full of crap, Tommy. You must think I'm pretty dang stupid. I'm not even kidding. I shit you not, Mike. There are ninjas in the frickin' woods. I was out hunting with my dad earlier, and we actually had to leave and head home because the ninjas are so deadly. We could even ask him. He'll tell you himself. He yelled excitedly. Just listen to yourself. Ninjas? In Washington? You're frickin' ridiculous, man. So we hopped down from Tommy's treehouse in the backyard and made our way inside to find his dad. My 14th birthday was coming up soon, and Tommy's dad had promised to take us out camping. He was an avid outdoorsman and a self-proclaimed master hunter, and I had no reason to doubt his claims. I followed closely behind as Tommy knocked on the door to his dad's study. It swung open, and Tommy's dad's big, beach-rooted red face beamed at us from inside his cozy office. We were never allowed to go in there, but I always thought it was really cool. He had all sorts of interesting stuff from the war locked up in the cabinets.
What are you two up to now, then? Not causing mayhem, I hope, he chuckled.
Without any other words, Tommy just came out with it. Tell Mike about the ninjas, please. His dad's face dropped, and a sullen expression overtook him. What did I tell you in the car, Tom? You are never to bring that up. I swear, if I hear one more thing about ninjas, I'm gonna give you a serious hiding. And with that, he put his hand on my shoulder and told me that I should be getting home.
And you, Tommy, you're grounded. Go to your room.
I heard him finish as I walked out the front door, Tommy's petulant screams of dissent being muffled by his dad's no-nonsense rhetoric. I didn't see Tommy for over a week. The summer break only had a few short days left, and when I did see him, he was very, very excited. Okay, first things first. You didn't tell anyone about the ninjas, right? Because you have to tell me right now if you did. No, Tommy. I didn't tell anyone about the ninjas. Happy? I looked at him dead in the eye. He seemed more than just happy. He was ecstatic, more than I had ever seen him before. Mike, remember how you met me and my dad? We're gonna go camping for your birthday? He asked, great big grin on his stupid face. Yes, I replied. Get to the point. We leave tomorrow. And on that cryptic note, no further information was disclosed to me, despite my constant questions throughout the rest of the day. The next morning at the crack of dawn, I was in Tommy's dad's truck and we were driving out into the wilderness. I sat in the back while Tommy rode shotgun. Curiosity getting the better of me, I finally asked. So why are we heading out there now exactly? What changed? Tommy and his dad exchanged glances and he looked at me in the rearview mirror. We're hunting ninjas, boy. Now I know you may think that sounds ridiculous, but just wait until we get out there. You'll see. A feeling like I had a ball of lead in my belly began gradually building up after we got farther and farther into the wild, until eventually we weren't driving on the road anymore. I didn't work up the courage to ask any more questions about ninjas. I just assumed he was having a joke at my expense. But I did speak up now and then to break up the tension. So how long have you been coming out here? You seem to really know the area, sir, I asked, trying to sound as respectful as possible.
You don't have to call me sir, kid. I'm not your dad. My name's Jerry, and yes,
I've been coming out here since I was a little boy with my own father. Yep, I got a lot of history out here in these. He trailed off as he peered out through the windscreen into the distance. We park here, Jerry said suddenly. Then we wait. And we did, for several hours before hiking a few miles until we came to a tree with a rope ladder hanging down from it. I scanned up until my gaze met with a small platform perched about 40 feet high. Jerry tested its sturdiness before sending Tommy up, then himself. And as he pulled the ladder up behind us, and we huddled together on the cramped sniper's nest, he assured us that we were in for a night to remember. We had left most of our supplies in the car, having already eaten and caught some rest. So besides the fact that there was hardly any room to move, it was actually relatively comfortable up there. Jerry sat perched on a nearby branch, watching our surroundings, which left a little space for us. Just as I was about to doze off for the third time that day, I was aroused by a hushed tone. "Shh." Jerry waved at us, ordering us to stay down. "They're here." He watched intently as I heard rustling below, and then the sounds. I don't know how to describe them. They were like whooping, hollering roars that sounded almost human, but not quite. And they were loud. Excruciatingly loud. I had to curl into a ball and clamp my hands onto my ears at one point, because I thought they were going to burst out of my head. I felt like I was trapped in some demonic kung fu movie or something. I stayed like that for some time before Tommy prodded at me, telling me to look. So I did, peeking through my hands. The things below were like bears, except they walked on two legs. And they were mounting each other, calling out their terrible mess of whoops and screeches and roars as they rutted away. "It's mating season. Stay quiet. If they see us, we'll be in a lot of trouble," Jerry whispered, clearly in his element. I don't know what he meant by that at the time, but I never made a sound. Whatever those things were, they were scaring the crap out of me. They just didn't sound natural, like nothing I had ever heard before. After a length of time had passed, probably over an hour or two, the group of beasts began to make their way away from underneath us. And as they cleared out of the tree line, all three of us watched a while they gradually disappeared out of view.
"Come on, we don't have much time. If we want to follow them, we have to stay close. These things are sneaky when they're silent."
I was too shocked to speak, let alone protest. I knew I was in for a long haul at that point, and that no amount of crying was going to change Jerry's mind. So I climbed down after them, hoping that this whole escapade would soon be over, and I could feel the relative safety of their car again. It was beginning to get dark now, and the weight of the forest's blackness was already making me uneasy. I followed along close behind as we quietly proceeded through the thick undergrowth.
"Where are we going?" I asked, as silently as possible.
Jerry ignored my question and dismissed me by saying, "It's only a little further, don't worry." Just then, an ear-piercing screech filled the forest around us, and we stopped dead in our tracks. Jerry motioned over to a hollowed-out log just off to our right, and Tommy and I quickly crawled inside. Three quick shots echoed over the sounds of incoming whoops and hollers before a loud yelling began, and the ninja noises became almost gleeful as they slowly disappeared into the distance.
I was terrified,
and I said as much as soon as I stopped shaking. Tommy didn't respond. He still hadn't gotten there. I dragged him out from the log after I had shimmied myself free.
"We have to go. Now!"
We gotta find a road. Let's go, come on!
I said, trying my best not to yell my words.
My dad. We have to get my dad, Mike. I can't leave without him. We can't.
He began to weep, and I knew he was right. The fact that my best friend would lose his father. Besides, he had the car keys. We needed to find him. Even if those things didn't get us, we'd get lost for sure. I gulped down a big ball of dread as I pulled Tommy to his feet. His dad was still screaming. He never stopped since they had grabbed him, which meant he had to be close. So holding each other in terror, we approached the commotion. We clambered over a ridge to see a campfire going in the distance with several crude little shacks littered around them in the clearing. We crept closer, following the screams, until we were right next to them. I peeked out from behind the shack, Tommy's dad now only whimpering. The creatures were huddled around the campfire, holding something over it and whooping. I told Tommy to stay put, and I quickly hustled around to the front and ducked in through an open doorway. Jerry was all the way inside, except for his rifle, which was propped up against the wall. Jerry was face down on the dirt floor, sobbing and struggling to breathe. I slowly walked over to him, and as I turned him over, he shrieked. I stifled a scream as I realized what I was looking at. All of his limbs were broken, mangled beyond recognition. But worst of all, they ripped his genitals off. A large gaping wound seeped through the mud that was packed inside it.
The rifle. You have to. Please.
Jerry begged, attempting to point his shattered arm at the gun. I was in shock. I couldn't think, so doing what he said, I picked up the rifle and cocked it back.
You have to run, kid. Please. Get my Tommy out of here. Don't let them take him.
I fired a round into his face, and I sprinted out the way I came, dropping the rifle as I fled. I grabbed Tommy and pulled him along with me as I maneuvered through the dense woodland. The monsters weren't far behind. The moment I got out of the shack, they looked at me dead in the eye, all of them, and they looked furious. Their terrible shrieks and roars filled the air, and just as I was jumping over a small creek, I heard Tommy rip over right behind me. He cried out in terror, but it was too late. His screams disappeared into the distance as I kept going until I was eventually out of earshot. I didn't stop running until I collapsed from exhaustion, tears streaming down my face. I was awoken by two hunters who took me to their truck and drove me to the nearest hospital. I was spattered with blood, and shortly after I got there, the police showed up. It took me quite a while to speak up, and when I finally did, I tried to tell them what had happened. Everything when Tommy first told me about the ninjas right up until I blacked out. Of course, they didn't believe me, or at least they claimed they didn't. After an extensive search and rescue efforts, nothing was ever found. No bodies, no camp, no ninjas. That's what they said, but I know they were lying. Once I came out with my story, years after, in fact, they labeled me delusional. They claimed that I made it all up to cope with the trauma. As a result, I spent a lot of time in psychiatric facilities. Years of my life wasted in hell, all because I tried to tell people what was going on out there. The official story is that Jerry took us out into the woods to murder us. Tommy and I, and then himself. Tom's mother couldn't take it, so she met the same fate shortly after, took an overdose and died in the bathtub. An entire family gone, just like that. Well, I haven't forgotten. and I won't let their memory be tarnished by corruption. One of these days, I'm going to find that camp. And when I do, the whole world will know what happened to us.